Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. How about standing up and greeting the folks that are sitting next to you or across the aisle from you as we pass the peace? Now let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation. First of all, if any of you have any questions about why so many people are in pink and why we have a pink bulletin, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Sunday. We want to call attention to the many strides that have been made in breast cancer detection and care and cure. But we also want to make notice that men as well as women need to be aware of this disease. Read your information, wear your ribbon and your bracelet, and be thankful and continue to work for a cure. I would also like to remind you of a couple of events. The Holiday Mission Bazaar is scheduled for November the 13th from 10 to 3. Mark your calendar so you can participate. I also want you to notice in your bulletin that activities are continuing at Main Street, and you need to note that we've got Hot Wednesdays this week, we've got Single and Single Again activities, as well as No Frills Game Day, which will take place tomorrow. Do pay attention to this calendar because there are also some very important meetings that will be taking place this next week in preparation for our charge conference. Now I'd like to ask Marilyn Murphy to make a special announcement.
Thank you. I'm Marilyn Murphy, and I'm president of the United Methodist Women, and it's my privilege this morning to honor someone who is not a member of UNW but contributes greatly. United Methodist Women are the largest givers to missions through the Board of Global Ministries, and one way we can do that is by giving special recognition pens. And today we want to give this pen to Flo Young, who is sitting in the back of the sanctuary. And I'm not going to ask Flo to come up to the front, but Flo Young, if you will stand, please. I'm about to award you with a special mission recognition pen from United Methodist Women. She is our librarian, and she keeps our reading program going. She keeps all the books shelved, and just takes care of us so well, and even makes sure that we have some books purchased through the library fund. And without her, our reading program would not be the success it is today. And thank you, Flo, very much.
Thank you very much, Marilyn, and congratulations, Flo. You do need to know that you are appreciated by this church, not just the United Methodist Women, but this church as well. Now, let us continue our worship as we prepare our hearts and await the acolyte's arrival with the light of Christ.
those who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. This is God's house, a holy temple. We are in the midst of God's dwelling place. Happy are those whom God has chosen to be here. Blessed are those whom God has forgiven and named. God crowns the year with a bountiful harvest. Flocks and grains fill the meadows.
And praying the prayer of invocation is found in your bulletin. To you, O God, shall our vows be performed. To you we sing our praises and utter our prayers. Come among us to renew your covenant.
and offer your signs. Pour out your spirit on your people, that we may dream and prophesy and flow the vision you set before us.
And let us join together in affirming our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Testament reading is from Joel, the prophet Joel, second chapter, verses 22 to 23. You can find this on page 1039 of the Pew Bible. On the day of the Lord, sin will bring judgment, and only God's forgiveness will bring rejoicing. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains of righteousness. He sends both your abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as he has before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm. My great army that I have sent among you, you will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there's no others. Never again will my people be shamed. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn dark and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be a deliverance, as the Lord said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Okay. Our epistle reading is from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6 and 8, and also 16 to 18. And you can find that on 260 of the New Testament, in the New Testament of the Pew Bibles. Paul, in writing to 2 Timothy, viewed his life as an offering to God. Here I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. But do not hold that against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed to all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sin, not in heart, but the whole.
Amen. You see the prayer concerns as printed in your bulletin. Let us be now in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we still ourselves in your presence, we embrace the change of the seasons, seeing the beauty of the fall foliage as it transitions before our eyes. We are reminded that seasons come and go, that God never changes, that you have been here through the ages, and as we give testament to our faith today, you will be here through the generations to come. We thank you, Almighty God, for the wonderful ways that you have answered in the past, for the ways that you have touched your children. You have heard their prayers. You have forgiven their sins. They have been adopted into the family of God. And we pray for these whose names are before us this day, that you would touch them, that your holy presence would help their feeble bodies, their troubled minds, their aching souls. And for those concerns, O God, that are personal and private within the breast of each one of us, we thank you, dear God, that you know and that you can hear us even in our thoughts to minister to these needs as well. Dear God, we praise you. We bless you. We affirm again that you are our God, and beside you there is no other. We pray for the war-torn places of our world, places where families are torn apart, towns are destroyed. Dear God, for those aching souls this day, help us to learn what it means to be people of peace, people of construction rather than destruction. But when the call comes for those to go to battle, we pray that you will be with them this day, wherever they are. We pray for the rightness within our world to be overcome, to overcome the wrongness of our world. We pray for salvation in the midst of sinfulness, for those in leadership over our great land, for those in leadership over our church, for missionary and minister, be with them. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Thank you.
Dear God, for these gifts we give you thanks. For each faithful giver and those who chose not to give this day, we thank you for them, for their lives, for their contribution to the kingdom of God. Bless these gifts as we give them to you. Use them for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated and the children may come down.
Good morning. You guys gather around. Get close. I have a treat at the end. I know. Good morning, guys. You know what? I love bubblegum. Do you love bubblegum? Yes. Of course, I know that there is a time and a place for bubblegum. Like, we don't chew it at school, and we don't chew it at church, right? Okay, but because I'd like to use it in my children's sermon to make a point, I'm going to bend the rule for just a minute. But when I'm finished, I promise that I'm going to get rid of my gum, and I'll get another piece when it's a more appropriate time for me to do that, okay? Now, what does it take to blow a bubble? Who knows? What does it take? Air. Okay. And so the idea would be that the more air that I blow into the bubble, the bigger the bubble will get. Let's try that, shall we? I've been working on these two pieces in my mouth for a minute. Let's see if it works. Okay, here we go. That worked pretty well, didn't it? I must be full. Okay, we'll try that a little bit later. I must be full of air. Now, what happens when I blow too much air into the bubblegum? It pops. Have you ever heard the expression that someone is full of hot air or someone is full of themselves? What do you think that really means? Anybody have a clue? What do you think it really means? Okay, it does mean they're full of something. It means they're full of themselves. Sometimes we are so puffed up with pride that we are just about to burst because we are so excited about all the good work that we do. Because sometimes we really do a lot of good things. I know I try to do good work. Do you try to do good deeds and good work? Yeah. Sometimes, though, we get a little too full of ourselves. Now, Jesus tells us in the Bible about two men. One of them was a very religious Pharisee who was very puffed up and full of pride for all of the good work and all of the good deeds that he did. Now, the other man was a tax collector, and he was very humble, and he knew that he was not perfect. And he begged God to forgive him. And of course, God did. Well, this pleased God greatly. I'm going to give you a piece of gum in a minute. And I'm going to let you take it back to your parents. And I'm going to let them decide after church when it's an appropriate time for you to chew that. But as you blow those big bubbles, I want you to think about the Pharisee. And I want you to think about the tax collector. And I want you to remember that Jesus has taught us to be humble and not to be full of pride. Can we have a prayer? Everybody close your eyes. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to do lots of good deeds. Help us to remember that all gifts come from you. Amen. And remember, we're only going to chew it after church.
gospel lesson today is found in the gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the 9th verse of the 18th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Story was told about a carpet layer who, after finishing the job, decided that he would step outside for a smoke. Went outside, reached up to his pocket. His cigarettes weren't there. Went back into the room, and there was a bulge in the middle of the carpet. He said, oh, my goodness. He said, I'm not going to tear up this carpet. I'll just take my mallet and level it out. So he took his mallet and began to beat away to flatten out the bulge in the carpet. He was putting up some of his other supplies, and the lady came to him with a packet of cigarettes in her hand. And she said, here, I found these in the hallway. I just wish I could find my parakeet. Oh no, you would say. Sometimes the little things that we think are simple turn out to be rather big. A story was told in 1666 about the king's baker. Had a little fire in the kitchen. He thought he'd put it out. It was no big deal. It caught on later during the evening and burned 80% of the city. In 1666. We also might think about back in the times in our country in the 20s and 30s when we decided that alcohol was bad. We just do away with it. Make it illegal. Illegal to make alcohol, illegal to transport alcohol, illegal to sell alcohol. And now we know in our history about the gangs of Chicago and about the Ridge Runners and the Blue Ridge and also down in the Low Country as people begin to make illegal whiskey and sell it and all throughout our country and realize the intent was to just do away with alcohol. And what it created as we learned that gangsters and what they would limits they would go to for people to have, as we say, a drink. Sometime as we look at these decisions that we make and the ways that we think, sometimes our little simple decisions have big dramatic consequences. As we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, we think about these two individuals as they stand before God in the synagogue, and there they are praying. Both of them praying in that personal and private manner that we pray. And as we listen in to their prayer, we begin to understand the attitudes of these individuals. a Pharisee, a person that fasted twice a week, the Bible said, gave a 10% of what they made to the church. As I read this passage and looked at it again, I said, man, that person sounds like a good Methodist. I mean, I'd be tickled to death to have a lot of those type of people in my church. Those that are fasting and praying. And especially with our budget the way it is right now, giving 10% of their income. Especially in these tough economic times, that's not such a bad person. And then I perceive that this is the one that is criticized. Sometimes that we assume by our good deeds that it gives us a better standing with God, and yet we know that in our lives we should have some good deeds. I was reminded of my mom when my first allowance that I received as a young boy was a half a dollar. And I'll never forget the day that Mom said, you know, Terry, a nickel of that belongs to God. I can still remember trying to rationalize that in my mind, why God should get a nickel of my allowance. And then she said something like this. She said, well, Terry, you know, when you give to God, God blesses you and returns to you. I said, well, I'll try it. So I remember giving a nickel in the offering and went down to visit my grandmother, and she gave me a dollar. I said, wow, this works. I said, so I can give more money and I can get more. So I actually, for years, as a paper boy, delivering the Greenville Piedmont and in the afternoons, would take and give of my tithes each week. I was forever winning all types of things. I'll never forget the day that I won $20 in a contest if you got five new subscriptions. Members, I'm back into the thing of thinking like a preacher now. You understand that? But five new subscribers, and so I did it, and I won the first place. And I said, you know, that's because I tithe. And I realized somewhere along the way that even though as I was giving to God and God was blessing me, that my attitude was wrong. That I shouldn't be giving to get. I should be giving because of my love and my relationship with God. So sometimes I thoroughly begin to understand the passage that says our righteousness are like filthy rags. Because sometimes, even as Paul said, when I determine that I'm going to do good, evil is present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? And so here's the Pharisee, and he has these justifications. And he's standing there and he says, I thank God that I'm not like other people. And he begins to name them thieves, rogues, adulterers, tax collector. Well, we're getting ready to go to the polls.
a few days from now. I don't know of any politician that has said in my entire lifetime, when I get in office, I'm going to increase taxes. We all have that distaste in our mouth about taxes. In the very beginning of our country, the issue, one of the issues, was taxes. Somewhere along the way, we didn't hear what somebody said because taxes keep going up. You know that. But everybody always says they're going to cut taxes. And come April the 15th, we all have that little distaste in our mouth about, well, here was a tax collector in the Bible, and he was standing there, and just like we feel today, people felt that way toward him. This is a lonely place to be. It was a rich place to be, but it was a lonely place to be a tax collector. A Jew working for the Romans, making assessments, having the backing of the Roman legion, you could get what you wanted. Most of them did. You can imagine how this tax collector probably felt with no friends except other tax collectors. Maybe he would like to have had some friends, for whatever it was that was eating on him down deep inside, he was crying. The Bible says beating his chest. Oh God, he said, be merciful to me, sinner. If we were standing there beside him, we might could have even added some other words to that prayer, like, you good for nothing, so and so, whatever we wanted to say, and we probably would have been accurate. But he was the one that was praying. Story was told about a young man who went to stand before St. Peter, and an angel was standing with him, and he welcomed him to heaven, and he said, welcome to heaven. There is a test. You have to get 1,000 points. And we assess all that you have done in life, and we give you points. So the man said, well, from my childhood I was baptized into the church. I sang in the church choir. I was a part of every committee that we ever had in the church. I was a faithful tither. I took part. I taught Sunday school. I've missed very few Sundays. And St. Peter said, wow, that's pretty good. Man, you get 360 points for that. He thought some more and he said, Okay, well, I was a Boy Scout. Not only was I a Boy Scout, I was an Eagle. Not only was I an Eagle, I helped little old ladies across the street. St. Peter said, man, that's good. We'll give you 460 points. What else did you do? He thought. He said, I'll never get enough points except by the grace of God. St. Peter said, that's it. 1,000 points. Welcome to heaven. But by the grace of God, would any of us be justified in the eyes of an angry God? Only by God's grace, justified in the eyes of a loving God. As we look at the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's not so much these two different individuals, but it's the Pharisee part and the tax collector part that resides inside of both of us, inside of us, both of them residing inside of us. Sometimes we are like the Pharisee, and sometimes like the tax collector. We certainly need to be doing good, but we certainly need to be praying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Amen. Hymn number 480, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Let us stand, please. Receive now the benediction, the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and keep you and bless you and lead you into the path of someone who needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That God came into the world to save sinners, and may they receive that good news from your lips. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.